Hello, welcome everyone. We are here finally back with Shut the Fuck Up. Anime is on. It has been a long 2 weeks. But we are here back in the, back in the studio. Back on Zoom.
It's a virtual studio.
Our virtual studio. So happy to finally be talking with all of you guys again. So before I get into our episode today and news and all that good stuff, I am your lovely host, Frankie, aka Pixel Potato. Mr. A-Town, how are you doing today?
I am doing fine. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun, fun night full of joy, laughter, and most importantly... Yes! This will be a recurring theme throughout the night.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
I love it.
Oh, God. All right, Queen of Daddies, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I am. Sorry,
that was
nice. Thank you.
That one, I was trying to like reset the thing. Yeah, keep going, sorry.
I'm good. I'm alive. I'm living. I'm free. I don't know. That sounded really pretentious when I said that. So I'm never going to say that again. But I'm good. Ready for this episode. Ready for opinions to be made, feelings to be hurt, probably. Oh. I think that'll be funny. Cole.
Oh, I can't wait.
Sorry, Cole.
Soul is laid bare.
Don't hurt my feelings.
And Mr. Cole, aka Two Shins, aka Coke. Coke. How are you doing today?
How's it going, everybody? I'm good. I'm ready to talk about literally my favorite anime, and I'm ready to counter any arguments you have.
I don't know how this is your favorite anime, but okay, go off, sis. Go off.
Because I love it.
So before we get into our a thing we have going on today for a fun little mini series we're gonna do, unfortunate anime news. Hold on, so I can say his name right. Kazuki Takahashi.
There it is.
Oh, there it is. I've been struggling, guys. The creator of Yu-Gi-Oh! Has unfortunately passed away. I know this one hit a lot of us deep in our little nerdy anime hearts, because for majority of people, Yu-Gi-Oh! was their starter anime. I didn't watch Yu-Gi-Oh! I went the Beyblade route because it was better. Let me not say that on this
part.
Sorry. Cut that. Bleep that out. Sorry. But I still know that it deserves its flowers. It's still one of the really good card. It still gets played to this day.
Yeah, to this day.
Tournaments for it.
The second one was pretty popular, but that first one, it wasn't even that it was about a card game. It's how deep the story actually was. Like, you was invested in these guys just playing games with cards. Like, when they would put trap cards. And I mean, that lent to the popularity of the game more than anything. Like, I know Pokemon had their trading card game, but it was nothing compared to what Yu-Gi-Oh! Was.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like, when I was a freshman in high school, there was a table for Yu-Gi-Oh! Players. I just couldn't afford, like, the good cards like that. So I used to just watch. and people would reenact like they were doing the anime. Like, you fell for my trap card. Now my magic card. I summon so-and-so. I sacrifice, like, all of that. The anime lend itself to that. And it was epic. I played all the games. I had all, like, Championship Edition 2005, 2000s. Like, they would do it yearly. And sometimes they would add a story behind it. So it felt like you was really in it. Oh, man, I love that game. And I love that anime.
Yeah, I watched the show a lot more than I played the game, because again, like, I had enough for like one. I got a Kaiba starter deck. That's all I had. I had a Blue Eyes White Dragon that basically carried my whole game. And then I played with my buddies who like actually went out and got booster packs and stuff. And I was like, I don't like this anymore, but I still love the show. I still remember that. I still quote the show. I hold my wine glasses the same way that Pegasus does. Like, with it, like, right through the middle.
Yugi boy.
Mm.
Yo, every time I play Uno and I need, like, a draw, I would literally go, heart of the cards, guide me.
Heart of the cards?
Hell yeah. Any card game you're playing, you're doing heart of the cards.
Yeah, anytime I play Blackjack, I always, heart of the cards, you.
Tristan Thompson, oh, my goodness, all of them. Seto,
You guys have a favorite... like Yu-Gi-Oh! Monster, who was your favorite monster?
I only know Blue Eyes White Dragon, so that's my favorite one. It's the only one I know.
There's one, I don't know what it is, but he's a purple outfit and like a pointy hat, I think.
Dark Magician.
Oh! Dark Magician. Yeah, that one's cool. Magician.
That's like Ash and Pikachu. That was Yu-Gi-Oh! Dark Magician. That was odd.
I had a little magnet for my fridge of that one. It's probably gone at this point, but
I had too many both in the show. It was funny because then after a while, remember the show would take a while before they would debut certain cards. Mm-hmm. So, and like the games, you would have access to them. So I used to get hyped when my favorite monster would actually make its debut in the show.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But there was so many I loved because there was some of these things were like knowing the mechanics of the game. I used to get hyped. Okay, I'm going to summon. I surround my decks. The only thing I didn't have a physical, but in the games, I would create decks based on certain strategies of summoning certain monsters. Because once you did, you can win. Like Time Wizard, all of them.
Time Wizard.
And one thing I think about the thing is that because the game wasn't as popular, the first season of the anime, well, the first part arc, I guess, did not follow the rules of the game.
Oh, not at all. There's like a ton of memes about that.
Yeah, it was a completely different, because, and not only that, there's also another season that never aired in America. So like we know when they went on the island and Pegasus, there's a whole other dark, very different thing where Yugi would literally, well, the dark version of him would play shadow games with people.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
He would play various games with people, and if they lost, they would just die. They would get sent to hell, but they called it the Shadow Realm.
The censorship realm.
Yeah, but he sent them to hell, but they said it was too dark for American audiences. So they started with the card game aspect, and that's when they built the franchise around and making the games.
Yeah, I was mad at the card game because my two favorite monsters were like kind of like shitty in the actual card game.
Oh yeah,
like Flaming Swordsman and Celtic Guardian were my two favorites. But when it came to the game, Celtic Guardian had like 1200 attack power and like 1000 defense. Like he was not good at all, but he looked dope. So I was like, that's my favorite. And Flaming Swordsman, I had a holographic Flaming Swordsman, and it was so beautiful. And I don't know where it is now. I think I gave it to my buddy, but man, yeah, those two were like all of Joey's cards were basically my favorite. Time Wizard.
Yeah, I stopped watching, but once the Yugi saga, because it ended so perfectly, like it was, if you want to compare different animes and different shows, that first thing with Yugi and all of them, that's perfection. I mean, the other ones were good, but nothing compares to that original incarnation.
Yeah, that was such a good show. I might go back and rewatch that show.
But they never stopped. They kept going as long as, like, same way Power Rangers had multiple seasons. At some point, that's what they became, where it was just like a different season every time. But that man is a legend. He definitely had an impact on the culture.
Yes, sir.
Oh yeah, big time. I'm too bad I can't, like, it's unfortunate I can't be a part of the conversation too much though. But like, as I know, I still see people posting up memes with like the different cards that play in their own little things. It still gets referenced a lot to this day. So
yeah, I saw the one that said that he didn't die. Said Okaiba sent him to the Shadow Realm. And we have to go save him.
Oh, that's not a good thing though.
Yeah, it's like, no,
what
we
the hell?
It's like we gotta go save him now. It's like me grabbing my deck to go save Takahashi from the
I saw someone do Monster Reborn. She kept trying. I was like, God, that's just fucking, like, let the man rest.
That's a little dark.
Yeah, like let the man just rest. Like, I mean, not in, you know what I mean, but it is.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So to switch topics, I don't know how to transition into that because it's just such
let me help you out.
So, first of all, are starting a mini series, and today is the first episode on it. We decided to do a mini series on underrated animes that really need to get some light shed on them. Even though this first one is not a good one,
Frankie, you're in the minority, so I don't want to hear it.
we'll see how this goes.
Okay.
But so we each picked a different anime. So the first one we're starting off with today, I'm gonna have us each name ours, and then we'll actually like discuss the first pick. So Cole, what was your I'll have you start off with last since yours is the pick. So Alex, what was your underrated pick?
All right, so my underrated pick was Eden of the East. I remember watching it years ago on Netflix, and I remember the premise of it was just, I wish this was real. And it could be real because it lends itself very well to live action, which I'm pretty sure someone's going to do it eventually. But It was always the animation, the story, the different characters, the main character, how he actually used his abilities, or not ability, but used his access, how he played the game was very interesting to me. And it's popular, but it never reached, oh my God, everyone's talking about this. But it, yeah, I always thought it was underrated. I mean, I have a lot more, but I was like, let's start with this one first. So Eden of Thieves was mine.
Okay. I had never heard of it until you mentioned it. So I'm excited to to start watching it. Andrea, what was your pick?
Mine was Madoka Magica. That's not the full name. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Or something.
Yeah, it's like Puella Magi.
Madoka Magica.
Yeah. So short, Madoka Magica is what it's called. I really like this anime. I don't really see as much hype for it as I think it deserves. But when time comes, I'm excited for everyone to watch it and to get to talk about it.
Yay.
Share some opinions. Yeah.
And my pick was Scissor Seven.
Can't
because
wait for that episode.
I can't wait for that episode either. Rant. Even though we've discussed it already on
we did
the podcast when I made Alex watch it, and he was forever grateful that he actually pissed off because it's not finished. And there's no telling when, but it's a Chinese anime, which is kind of why it's not finished, because COVID, right? They had plans for 10 seasons, but they only got to season 3. I think they're just now in the works of season 4. So it'll be a while before we get it though. But it is a hilarious, one of the funniest animes I've ever watched about assassins.
True.
And this one guy, his name is, and you find this out in the first episode. He's ranked the seventh assassin out of like 13,000. Or something, and he loses his memory, and it's just him kind of going back and trying to remember what happened. But it is hilarious. I find it funnier than One Punch Man. Saying something. Yeah, it is. It starts off super duper funny, and then the storyline starts to hit, and then it turns into this super serious badass. The animation is great. The fight scenes are amazing. The character development is amazing. The character interactions are amazing. Just everything about this show is practically perfect, honestly. So that's my pick. So I can't wait till we can discuss that again. And we are on to Cole's pick. And Cole, what? And this is the episode we're going to be discussing. So Cole, what anime are we going to be discussing today?
Well, anybody who is cultured will know from the soundbite that my pick was Steins Gate. And anybody who's paid attention to any podcast that I've been on, because I always bring it up. That was my pick. I think that anybody who's watched the show would tell you that it's not underrated in their mind, because everybody, like, if you like go to like Steins Gate, like the theme on YouTube, like all the comments are just basically people just saying like, I never watched the show and I watched it and I loved it, blah, blah, blah. So I think that like in like really deep anime circles is probably not considered underrated, but for like the average watcher, they probably haven't seen it.
Like, it's like a cult following.
Yeah. Like when I brought it up, like I was the only one here that had seen it. So,
well, in my defense, I tried.
You tried.
I tried many times.
It came out in like 2013 or something. 11. So 2011. Yeah. So even farther back. So like it's more than a decade old, and all of us watched it for the first time this year. So yeah.
Yeah. So Cole, why don't you go ahead and go into what the show is about?
Well, I want us all to go around and give our initial reaction. I think that would be good.
So
Andrea, you go first.
Andrea, I'll let you go first.
Okay, so I watch this show in a day. I'm very much like when I watch a show, I will spend all day watching a show. So this show took me about a day. It's a little it takes a while to get into, for sure.
You're not going to hurt my feelings, guys.
I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm just trying to find the right words, because I don't dislike the show. But up until they kind of get into what the show is more about, which is like a time travel aspect, once you kind of start to see that happens, it gets good. But before that, you kind of I was just watching the show and I was on my phone most of the time. And then once we started going to that part, I was like looking up at the TV. I was like, oh, what's going on? Oh, this seems interesting.
Yes.
Oh, wait, let me just rewind. What'd they say? So once you kind of get to the time travel aspect, it starts to pick up and get good. And then once you kind of move farther along and you see what's happening, it gets good. But the first six episodes are
six.
Kind of you. Okay, it's longer for
quiet.
You.
I'll be quiet. Okay.
It is longer for Frankie. First six to eight episodes are just, it makes more sense when you like finish the show, when you rewatch it again, I guess. It's for those rewatch people, I guess. It's not for first time watchers. That's the best way I think I could put it.
All right. I want to piggyback off Andrea. Wait, Frankie.
I'm going to be quiet.
Wait. So again, even before like all of this, I did, because I used to see, they talk science, time travel, one of the best on time. All right. Okay. That first fucking microwave is, first of all, fuck that microwave. I don't care. Yes, I know how important it is now, but God damn it. That, first of all, do not watch this. If you're listening, do not watch this shit and sub. It'll the shit out. It's, you know what it is? It's a heavy, for the first 12 episodes, heavy on the dialogue. There's no action. It is a lot of just talking, people bringing up concepts, doing, it's literally, you're watching like a science show.
Yeah, it's also like you get the flamboyantness of J. Michael Tatum as the main character. Yeah. So that is what carried me a lot through the episodes, because I love him. So that care, it's, and like, not to mention like the guy that lives just below in the building is voiced by Chris Sabat. So I was like, all of my, like a lot of my favorite English dub voice actors were in this show. And that's what carried me through a lot.
Yeah. Watching it, mind you, I watch Dr. Stone. That is a heavy science show, but they're doing something. There's things happening where, yes, they talk a lot of science, but they're actually doing shit. This is literally talking theories, and until it's like they actually test the theory and things are happening.
Yeah.
But yeah. So definitely you got to watch it dub. Second of all, oh my God, it's a struggle. The closest thing of the first 12 that got me interested, I even remember, because I was live chatting with everyone in the chat while I was trying to make it through, is when you find out the chick who, what you thought was a chick, was a dude. And I was like, what? And then you find out what they did with her to test this, the whole thing. I was like, that's interesting. But then it drops into a lull again until episode 12. And like Andrea says, because I know the exact moment where you looked up from your phone when shit popped off.
Yeah.
That dinner party.
It was a dinner. They were at a dinner party. See,
It was a dinner party. It was like, remember, because they spent the day going out grocery shopping.
Okay.
Again, mundane as hell. Nothing really. Again, they were still doing their little experiments, trying out the system. So, and it was like, okay, let's celebrate. And then shit pops off. And the next three episodes from that is the craziest back and forth Groundhog's Day, twisted, can't escape, fake shit going on. And I was like, okay, you got me. But Lord, was that a slog to get through that first 12.
It's worth it.
But Andrea, you said it best when it's really good for rewatches.
Yeah, it's the first part's for the people who are rewatching it. Yeah. Don't, you can't skip it.
Yeah.
Which is the other thing too.
Interesting, because I mean, it's kind of like what time travel is though.
Yeah,
you won't appreciate it until you go back in time.
Once you go back and rewatch it. Yeah.
So that's kind of the concept of the whole show of the spiral. But Frankie, take it away.
All right. So first, I will say, the anime is good. It's a good one. It's only one I would recommend to extremely seasoned anime watchers. This is not one that you would give to someone who's oh, what should I watch? No, you got to already be deep and heavy into the anime world and obsessed with it in order to give this anime a shot. So it's good, but to me, that journey getting to episode 12 when everything pops off was extremely long and excruciating. I told Alex this, and I was waiting to say this on the podcast to everyone else. This show literally almost ruined anime for me. Yes, that's how bad I struggled getting to episode 12. Well, you guys saw, like, we assigned this like a month ago, and I just finished it 2 days ago. because I was watching, I was struggling to watch one episode a night. When episode 12 hit, I was like, okay, all right. I was able to watch two episodes a night, but it's a very mellow anime, very calm, but extremely complex, which to me is a very, very, very hard combination to have. Extremely hard. And like I said, it's all dialogue. The first 12 episodes literally mean nothing until you rewatch it. You have to rewatch it. It was sad. Yeah. Him trying to constantly bring back Mayuri. And then, it was, and then once you got past those 12 episodes, little like relationships and other little things that were going were, they were interesting and it was good, but to me, it was just not worth it. Like I said, literally almost ruined anime for me, which is why I still haven't even watched the other shows I've been recommended. I have not watched any of my other shows because I would start off my night trying to watch Steins;Gate and I'm like, nope, let me put on Sunny in Philly. I had nights like that as well. Huh, what?
I had nights like that as well.
I struggled. Like I said, this literally almost like ruined anime. Wow. Okay. Even though it's good. That's the thing.
I think she means the attempt of getting through it.
Yeah.
Is what, because it you really, and like I said, yeah, you have to be seasoned. Where you know payoff is coming, you've watched enough shows where you know it's coming. You're just like, all right, let's just get it's coming. It's coming.
I think,
and it's like, I don't even know. I genuinely, not even being like a sarcastic asshole, I genuinely have no idea how anyone has even watched this anime because of how slow it has to, it's all of mouth for you to end up watching it.
Let me put in my defense now, because to be fair, I'm the only one here who was not foisted upon to watch this show. I watched it of my own free will.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Why? So,
why? Yes.
Okay. So I went into the show knowing two things. One is somebody I heard from people online that talked about it said that it's probably one of the best applications of time travel in any sort of Western media.
First of all, that's bullshit. I'm going to fight that too when we get to that.
I heard that. And then two, I heard that it's really, really good. Not many people have watched it. It's not like a big action anime. So, you know, so I was like, okay, I'll give it a try because I want to see it. Because when I went to go watch it, it was either this or Psycho Pass. And I was like, I'll watch Steins Gate first because what I was listening to at the time, they just talked about it more. But
you still watched it through word of mouth, though, because you had to go off of what people were saying. That's the thing. It's not an anime that you just see on Funimation. Like, oh, okay, let me give this a shot and actually finish
exactly.
It was, it was just people mentioned that it was good and that, you know, that it was, you know, people just said that, like, yeah, it's good. So I was like, okay. So when I went into it, Andrea, you kind of made it sound like you didn't know that time travel was even in the show at all.
Well, no, I knew time travel wasn't it. It was more of like, I didn't start paying. I was kind of waiting for it to happen.
Okay.
I wasn't paying attention until once I noticed that it was like happening. I was like, okay, now we're finally getting to the story that I know that is what it's supposed to be. So now I can look up a little bit. But before then, before you really kind of like start to see that aspect, it's hard to.
Well, cause
focus on it.
Okay. Well, cause I didn't experience that at all. Like I thought Okabe was like hilarious because he has like a very dry sense of humor. I thought he was really funny. I think the fact that he was voiced by Tatum probably helped a lot. The fact that I like him so much. I just got done watching Tokyo Ghoul and you guys are right. I didn't really like season two that much.
Yeah.
But him as the gourmet in season one is like, he was my favorite character.
Mm-hmm. And I think, but see, that's, there was a hook to keep you going.
Yeah.
None of us had that hook. We were just free. Just fight. You were, there was something to
pull
you
just in there raw dogging it.
And even with us getting just through this was because of the sake of, this is our homework. This is, we're doing this for a point.
Yeah. If it wasn't for the fact that like,
because I tried this was many mandatory times. The moment you mentioned Steins Gate, what was the first thing I said? Fuck that microwave.
Yeah.
That's the first, because every time I would, I'm going to try it. And it was just enough about the microwave. It can do this when he's in the camera. This is my thing. And she pops up and I'm literally looking at it because that's using scenes from it for her to say it. And I'm like, I can't do it. And I would stop and I would go find something else. Well, but because there was a hook to pull us through, we was able to make it through.
Well, I think it's just the fact that I was like watching it of my own free will, my own volition. It probably played a big role in it too.
Yeah.
I actually thought the characters were the main Okabe, I thought was probably like getting me through it. The humor of the dub is what put me I didn't watch it in sub because J. Michael Tatum's voice acting, like he does a lot of humor. Like when he comes out and tells you that the one character is actually a dude, Ruka. It's like in the dub, it's delivered in like a comedic way. And it's just like a dude, the vision of grace and beauty is a dude. So I don't know. I thought that his character was charming and he made me laugh and that kind of got me through it. But also like in the very first episode when he like sees the girl dead and then like in the next episode or like, then like a couple minutes later, he's like, in that seminar and she's there and you're like, okay. So knowing that the story is about time travel as well as that happening, I was like, okay, so what this is telling me is that it's kind of like playful and fun in the beginning and not really like not a lot is happening.
But you know any of that. I didn't get none of that. I'm sorry.
The characters are playful. Nothing serious is going on in the beginning. That's what
okay.
I mean.
Yeah. Okay. When I watched it after the first episode, when you see her die and then you see her come back, I knew it was time travel, but you kind of almost forget. You forget that it happens. And yes. Then two, you're just like, why was that shown to me? Why was that relevant? Obviously, until when you get to the
much
end,
later when they met, I was like, oh shit.
Why? But you're that just like, same thing with the computer thing. They like, the first six episodes are trying to get to like this computer thing,
which
and
is
then
a
they,
real computer and a real
they lose it, and I'm like, what was the point of that? Like, you just skip all of that and then go to the next part. But then once you finish it, you realize,
well, because they needed the computer. Like, when y'all were telling me that you didn't understand, I was like, I followed that perfect. Like, they needed that computer because that was the computer that they used to cipher to get into CERN's like
but then they lose it and so
it's
like
lost
what was
in
the,
so
lost.
Much yeah. dialogue yeah. and complex theories and I'm a science person. I but love it, science, but this was just,
well, I will say the show does follow actual science theories. I think that may have been like none of it is, I'll give them that, none of what they are bringing up, like even the concept of the person that gave that would be online, that mystery person, that's a real person. Well, that's a real event that actually happened where they said there was someone online that said they were from the future, and then said I this and that, and then the person disappeared. So that was actually, so it took a lot of real concepts.
Yeah, and like CERN's Hadron Collider, like that's a real thing.
Yeah, all of those things are like based off a real thing, and I give them that they try to be grounded as much realism as possible, like the idea of sending a message with our phones and dictating events.
Yeah, but I will say it was in the beginning. I won't say that I was bored. But I would definitely say, and I definitely wouldn't say that it was a slog for me to get through, because it didn't feel like getting through it, because like I said, I was watching it of my own free will, but, it was whimsical, and it kind of felt like, okay, so yeah, this is kind of like, you know, you're just watching and nothing really serious happens. That's why when I was telling you guys, when you're getting through it, I was like, it seems like it doesn't matter, but it has big implications later. So at least try to pay attention, because it really does, like everything, it circles back, like everything circles back.
The one thing that kind of threw me off, and it was the one thing that still kind of, outside of this being a mandatory assignment that I signed for everyone, I was the one who assigned the assignment, but didn't understand the assignment.
And I feel like you should have, you probably like knew when you assigned it, Cole would pick Steins Gate too. Like,
I knew, but I didn't think it was going to be, I had no idea what I was getting us all into. But the one
it didn't help that I also hyped it up so much, because it actually,
this is your favorite anime, like
it is,
over
it is my
and
favorite
we're
yeah,
still
it is
like
my favorite.
Confused
it is my favorite.
On
baffles
but the one thing that still kind of held my interest just a little bit was those little glimpses he would get of like dead people out of nowhere, which I felt like never really got circled back around to. And then I felt like it was going to be more of a supernatural thing going on from just like those little glimpses and messages. Like,
well, you know what,
you're our savior. And like, he was getting stuff like that to him. So I think I was expecting a different.
You know what the glimpses were now, though, right? Yeah. That was him battling with the beta.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. He was bleeding because remember, everything that happened was going to happen is going back and forth. So that was constantly him switching between because remember, the thing about him is that no matter what changes, he remembers everything.
Yeah.
And he was fucking with his head because he's seeing.
He's both, remembering stuff that he does.
Remembering things that happened. Never happened that he's not supposed. Yeah. And it was. What they call it? It was calling like cracking. It was like cracking.
Yeah,
the glass.
Yeah. But I just swore there was one face that I had seen that was all bloodied and dead and stuff that I didn't see again. So I think that's where I was confused. And the whole savior thing, like you're our savior, was that him sending his message back to himself?
Well, that
little girl?
I was gonna say save that toward the end because that has to do with Zero.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Lord.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so it's a lot going on, but again, I don't.
Yeah. You don't need to watch Zero. It's just Zero.
I did a crash course on Zero because I was like, I have to know.
I watched about halfway through Zero and it just it's okay. It doesn't have the same like
the whole thing about Zero is that entire anime is just for that one message.
Yeah.
The one message he get that because I thought I'm like, oh, so he says like this will work out. You will live. So I was like, okay, so when he lives happily with the girl, he's going to send a message. Like most time travel things do, where a person lives through it. Nope. That's a completely different version of himself.
Yeah.
It's not like, even, he doesn't become that person.
Yeah. Like Zero is basically like how they made the Star Wars Rogue One movie out of like one line of dialogue from Darth Vader. That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like they made a whole show off of one line.
Oh, a one line. Yeah.
We don't need to watch that, but you did touch on the characters and how they were like, and how you liked them and you thought they were funny and all that. They definitely. Oh, I have no idea.
That
enrages
going.
Me. So the main guy, Okabe. He was a little cringe. But yeah. I understand he was like this weird, like quirky doctor. I'm like, okay, we'll go with it. And then his supporting cast was just not hitting. Who's the guy with the glasses and the hat?
The pervy one?
Huh?
Hashida.
The scientist, yeah.
Yeah, who's always on the computer. He was super cringe with everything he said. Mayuri was the most annoying character in the entire show with her stupid do-do-do. Alex, take you said back. That would play a part.
Yeah.
It all comes back that I still don't understand the do-do-do. I don't understand it. I mean, I feel bad for her once you get to know more of her backstory. But that's, the thing is that
how do you not get touched by like the hand in the sunlight thing? Come on.
The one scene that fucked me up with her was one of her death scenes with the train.
Oh, no, yeah.
When I say I yelled out like, oh, openly
he's
yelled
like,
out.
I just meant to hug her. I was
because it's like, because you think it's done. All right, he got it. I'm like, no, it can't be done. That's not, it's not it. And then, because they do this, like, he's just holding it, talking there, and he just whoosh, and he just sees the slow motion. And then the train just, and she's gone. I'm like,
yeah.
Damn. Yeah. Dude,
what about that anxious feeling every single time she'd be like, oh, my watch isn't working.
Oh, my God. I was like, bitch.
Yeah, every time you're like, no.
You should have gotten her batteries like before all this was happening. Like, right. Look, I'm just getting you batteries now. This watch is not breaking.
Or just taking the watch from her.
Yeah.
Like, no, you don't need the watch anymore.
That's the thing is like the whole point. Like what when I talk about the character progression, one thing that I think is a little bit unique about this show is that all the characters are the same person through the whole show, except him.
Yeah.
Because he's the only one that remembers everything.
Yeah, he's being influenced by everything happening. Like, he's gone back in time many times.
He's watched his friends die over and over and over and over again. Like,
that is the one, like, one of the things I really like about the show is just, like, he is so sad because he's lived so many lives and he's made so many memories with these people and they have no idea.
And
that is... That's heartbreaking.
And I'll bring it up related to another thing. When I talked about Ray Zero, It's similar to that because he would make these character development with these people. And then like in Raizeo, if he dies, he has to start over. Well, with this, he would make these character developments to everyone, have to start over time, and then have to explain it again. And
convince them.
And convince them. But I like the one line that, what's the girl's name? The redhead.
Urusu.
Urusu, when she told him, all right, this is crazy. I get it. Here's a cheat code, basically, to get to me. Mention this.
Yeah.
Whatever you say, and it's the only thing that'll get to me. I like that touch because it's like, okay, if I tell you this, you're not gonna believe me. But if I tell you something that only you would be able to tell me, it kind of helps things along. And I like that aspect. That
yeah.
The one character that I actually liked above it all is what's his name's future daughter. When you find out
she came from
the future, she was cool.
Her story, like when she's like, "Yeah, I just wanted to see my dad," and then you find out how he fucked up. The progression of events.
Yeah.
When she was supposed to come back. She just wanted to see her father. That's why she made a quote unquote pit stop and she was supposed to leave. What did he do? He stopped her from leaving. That caught it another bad chain. And then when she finally goes back and they look back and they find out, this is for you. And what's the first line? I failed. And I was like, oh, that's just fucked up. Because you just leave us with such a nice moment with her. And then what? She just failed her mission.
Yeah. I was like,
that was
damn.
So messed up. And she's like, I only found out 2 years ago and I'm dying now. So I was like, that's fucking twisted.
God.
Yeah.
You know what character I liked a lot, surprisingly, even though I hated her when she was first introduced, was what was the girl with the glasses who was texting all the time?
Curious. That crazy bitch?
Oh, I thought you were... No. Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Kiryu.
Oh, I thought... Wait, what was Alex's?
The redhead. Oh, no. The one I'm talking about is the skinny one that was living downstairs with the guy.
No. She's talking about the one that would text instead of talking.
Yeah.
I thought you said her name was someone that Alex had mentioned. That's why I got confused earlier. But no, once her full story came about with FB and everything, and that she just went full psycho mode and all that, I ended up liking her. I still understand why she was texting so much.
He was sending her messages.
She was just one of those like introverted, like parasocial type people.
I get that, but it was a bit over the top.
It was a bit much.
It was a
she
bit.
She could talk. Yeah,
she went fucking nuts, dude.
But yeah, I liked her being obsessed. The one to have to kill Miyori and everything, and just them just shot that bitch in cold blood. I was like, "What the hell is this?" I was interested slightly. I was
that's why
like
she liked her.
Seconds.
You liked her because she shot the
and
girl.
I remember when she was
crazy.
Even in the chat when Frankie kept saying, "I can't stand this Miyori bitch," I'm like, "Oh God, she's gonna love that moment,
dude."
She's gonna love that.
She gets to watch it over and over.
Yes,
and over.
I was like, "She's gonna love that sequence."
But okay, by the third time, like she died, I was like, "Oh." And then when like the whole thing with the grandma and all that, like, "Oh, okay." Like it became kind of like a little sad. I don't know if it was pity or what. But,
I will say that. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I was just gonna say I really liked the text. I forgot her name already. That's how irrelevant this is to me. Sorry.
Okay, Kiryu.
Yeah, Kiryu. Double. Was she 007?
She's an agent of CERN.
No, I meant the name that Yurobi. Gave her. I think it was 007.
Something like that.
Because I remember like, ooh, she's James Bond. That was literally my instant connection. But the whole thing with FB and then her thinking that FB was a female, and then like surprise, it's Chris Sabat. But no, that was
surprising. Even though after a while I was starting to get, I'm like, he's the only guy they really touch on. After a while I did when they actually said it was, I was like, oh no, that's just fucked up.
Yeah.
And like even his reasoning of why is like, well, you just can't have you succeed. You know too much.
Yeah, it was so simple. He's like, yep, no. Can't do it.
There were a lot of like B storylines in that show that all ended up being like they played a role. I think the main thing of this show is this show invests a lot of, we'll explain this later, with a shit ton of stuff. Like
everything,
her putting your hand in the sunlight. Like you gotta wait like 18 episodes before you find out what that shit was about.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing with the texting chick, the stuff with
the entire
Ruka,
show
that he wants to be a girl. and then ends up gets to be a girl, and then like ends up being back because it's like they don't feel themselves. Like
no, it wasn't even that, because no, she liked being a girl.
Yeah,
but it's just it had to be undone.
Yeah, it had. Yeah,
it just had to be. That's what. And she's like, I have to give up my happiness to save a life. And I was like, God damn.
Yeah, and then the fact that like he had a crush on Okabe, but he knew that it wouldn't work out. But
she had a crush. Well, no, on Okabe.
This was when he was a he.
But still identified as a she.
No, he never did. He always got embarrassed when people would call him a she.
Yeah. Oh,
he wasn't. He basically, it was more that no, it's a he, and he looked like a. It looked like, but he never said I'm a she. They say no, I'm a good guy. Just you guys just keeps assuming. And but he wanted to be a girl. So he
did.
Okay. He felt different inside. And then he was like,
I thought that was girl clothes the entire time.
We all thought it was a girl. That's
no, and the clothing and the weight. I was lost on that.
But that was the thing. Is like he didn't want to be a he, but he knew that he was. To everybody around him.
Yeah.
So it's like
pretty big for Japanese culture to even address that whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Cause they don't really like deal with trans stuff.
Yeah. So I was like, okay. Even when they I was like, oh wow, okay. But then it was kind of weird, but now knowing how the anime is, where they would do it where you could just change it. I was like, well, that's a dip. But then as the end, you said, well, you can't change it, it has to be undone.
Yeah.
And which I didn't know that's a thing. Oh, depending on if you eat fruits or vegetables, I doubt that was the one thing. Even this, all of this time travel and all this, I was like, eating more fruits or vegetables is going to change. Okay, relax.
To be fair, I have heard that, but it's like,
there's no way to know.
That's kind of pseudoscience.
It's just, it's all like the myths, like the pregnancy, the fun things to believe with pregnancy and stuff.
I think that was the main through line of the show. And I think that played a lot into when you guys were watching it and saying that you were like suffering in the beginning. Yeah. Like, I can't relate with that one too much. Like, I didn't feel like I was suffering when I was watching it, but I can definitely understand why somebody would feel that way, because a lot of very, very seemingly meaningless things happen in the beginning that don't pay off until much later. I think Alex described it the best is when he said that it sacrifices the first half so that it pays off in the second half. And I think that is a great way of putting it.
Like going again, it's like, but it's also related to the show of time travel, that only when you go back do you appreciate what you had. That's kind of the theme of the show, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So even that, but even like as the story, like as when it really then got good and it had my attention, there was still some moments where it was still a little love, but at this point I'm up here, I'm interested because I want to see where we're going with this, like of the fact that they keep trying to do something different until the point where they realize you have to go back. That's when the shit got real sad. Like Andrea said, we forgot how it started because we were so it was, that moment was kind of throwaway. I didn't think it was done on purpose. Because you have to now remember, well, guess who has to get sacrificed?
Yeah.
That's like, if you have to undo all of the, what is the technique? I keep forgetting the technique they call it.
D-mail. That's it.
Yeah. D-mail. Yeah.
Because it was DeLorean mail.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. The fact that you have to undo them, meaning you have to literally go back to all the, all the plot points that and things that we've seen happen that we were suffering. There's like, oh wait, we have to go back and undo that. And that was a lot of character progression I had with those moments.
Yeah.
Especially once you found out how that the redheaded girl, how like she was killed. Ferris.
Well, no, I'm even the because even the rich girl thing about like her having her father be with her and then he had to die.
Yeah, and the whole city.
And then
changes.
She's like, I wish like even little things like and then she had to now he's like, well, now you have to sacrifice and he has to stay on his trip. She told him to stay on his trip and because he had rushed back and he died on the plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
So this time she told him to stay. That's when he was able to live. But then that changed because then she lost the passion to create the little fun town where everyone can feel good about
it. Like the whole culture of that the side
made,
of town.
And that's what was so sad. Everyone had to sacrifice what they had. They had gained just to save one life.
But at the same time, since it's they go back in time, they do have to sacrifice, but then the next time we see them, it's not like they actually had any sacrifice.
Right.
They don't know what they had.
They don't remember what they could have gained. They know, because mind you, those things are probably still in them.
Yeah.
But remember, the D-mail gave them a hope to escape what was So they just kept on. You just live with what you just have to deal with your own problems without time travel.
Basically. Watch out. Yeah. So I feel like the only one, it just, it brings you back to like the only one who this really affects is the main character.
He knows all of their deep secrets, all their deep regrets.
And he knows what he had to take away from those people to get back to where he needed to get back. And I think, that's just so sad.
It's a really sad anime. I will say, like, I think some of the, like one of the saddest moments is when he's having to deal with all that stuff. And I he's having a conversation, I think with Makise.
Yeah.
And he has to like act like his like old silly self to like reassure her that everything's okay.
Yeah.
When he's not okay. Like, and like, And when Kurisu doesn't remember who he is and he's like, basically like in love with her. Yo,
I didn't understand that whole love. It felt forced, their love thing.
I don't think so at all.
Because, I don't think it did.
Because Kurisu was like, I can understand why she may not reciprocate, but I can understand why he had feelings because she was like the one that he kept going back to.
Exactly. That's all.
There were so many times where he jumped and he didn't tell anybody that he jumped except her.
And that's what I'm saying. She knew it though. She also realized. She's like, "Why are you changing? What's wrong?" She knew.
Yeah.
They built up enough like tension with the back and forth between them that when he started going back, she can tell. She knew. Like she even said, "Everyone leave." She's like, "You went back, didn't you?" He's like, "How you know?"
Yeah. Because like, she could like feel the difference in his personality.
Yeah. He couldn't hide it after a while. And I like the conversation she had where it's like, "Look, I know each time you go back, we're gonna forget. If you need to convince me," the fact that she let that part of herself open, I don't think it was forced at all because she's like, "Okay, I'm willing to give you this part of myself to help you because you're moving backwards compared to the rest of us. You're on a different path than we are. So if you ever need me," he needed her the whole time, pretty much.
You know, and he goes back and he tries to stop her from being killed and gets himself stabbed and all.
I didn't even want to jump there yet, but even like on the path, because he knew that's the end game.
Yeah.
When the moment he realizes he has to undo everything, then he remembers the first thing. And then we as the audience remember, oh shit, she did die the first time. But even then, that's why, Andrea, we didn't know. We didn't realize that's what had happened.
Yeah.
That his D-mail, whatever he said, because he had sent a text, oh, so-and-so died. But that was an accident.
Yeah, you just think it's kind of a throwaway at that point. Yeah, but it's not.
On his way, like the whole time, he's heading toward her demise. And he did tell her at some point. I think one of those times he told her.
Yeah.
He's like, look. And then that's when they do the kiss in the lab where it's like, it has to be done. There's more suffering with us not doing this than doing it. So I don't think it was forced at all.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because her character to me overall, like once I got her full thing of how she was like from beginning to end, I was like more accepting of it though. But I was kind of confused on personality wise, how she was supposed to be and stuff or something. Like, I don't know.
Look at her upbringing.
But that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Like once it comes full circle and stuff, I'm like, the thing is like, I guess the way I was feeling about these characters were so deeply rooted. By the time I got to the end, I was like, okay, like each character's like backstory and like what they had to go through is it's sad. It's traumatic though. But I just feel like they just did such a good job at deep rooting how these characters are that when it finally comes time to see who they really are, it's really hard to
make that shift.
To make the shift.
Because even with her, they saved her real. I mean, she would talk about it, but we never saw it until that last episode where it's like, well, damn, man. Like, this your father was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
He's trying to say, look, dad, look what I did. How dare you? I'm like, motherfucker, what the hell is your problem? To the point of like that was bad. And so she grew up having to hide how smart she was, having to like be in a shells. But funny enough, with Okube, who was always, he was kept poking at her. I like the fighting back and forth.
Me too.
I did too. It was adorable because it's like what he kept calling her. And she's like, stop calling me that.
Christina.
She's like, stop calling me that. I love the banter. That's why when he would get serious, because that happens with me. Like I've had some relationships like where I would just poke, but that was our back foot. That when I used to get serious, they used to know like what happened. I was like, God damn, I can't. Because it's hard. You can't put it. It's hard sometimes to hide that. So I like that aspect of it. But when she would notice, So she's like, he kept cracking at it, making her react emotionally, break through the shell. And I like that back and forth. But then you see why she put the shell up. That's why he's like, look, if you have to, like, even that, I still like that scene with her telling him that, to say this, because I will react the way, but I will know you're someone I trust. That's the only reason why you would know this. Mm-hmm. And I like, and but then when it turns out where it stopped being about saving Mayuri, because at some point he knows how to save Mayuri. He has to make Suzuha go all the way back in time where she was the one to get them access to the computer in the first place. Mm-hmm. We never knew that. That's why when you said about the computer, why it was a big deal, because we didn't know what it took. Because remember, think of us going forward in the show while things are coming backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we don't know what it took to get to the computer until we reach a point where they had to come back and tell us this is what it took. She was supposed to go straight back in time. She was supposed to see her father, interact with everyone, disappear, go back in time.
Yeah.
And he stopped her that night. It threw everything off. The computer's gone.
Yeah. Think about like all the stuff that in the beginning of the show that finding Kurisu dead, like, and then in like the next scene she's around, like having the big giant fucking building, like giant fucking thing that, like, you find out later that was like the time travel, the time machine that she
even him finding her dead, that was supposed to be it.
He
wasn't supposed to use the D-mail.
Because then
which again, that big talk, which that was a cool moment too, when he goes back the first time to try to save her. He fails miserably, which that had me shocked. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Anime's over. He failed. That's it. And then he was in despair. That moment, by the way, I mean, Cole, you know this, but for the other two, that moment actually separates this show from the Steins Gate Zero.
Right. Oh, I remember you mentioned that.
Yeah, because basically there's two things that branches off until that message. We didn't, I mean, Cole, you know that, right? We didn't see it at sorts of the audience, but Mayuri got a message in a regular timeline, the anime timeline, that for season one, told her, convince him to go back by any means necessary.
Yeah.
In Steins Gate Zero, nobody ever sent her that message. So in Steins Gate Zero, when he comes back, he's like, I failed, I've done, they let it go and that's it. He never goes back. The anime in Steins Gate Zero takes place 2 years after that.
Yeah, and Makise Kurisu is like long dead at that
point. Yeah, she's just dead. Everyone just moves on with their lives. But the Steins Gate Zero, the Steins Gate we got to see is her slap him in the face, convince him to go back. Then you get the message that Suza, because it was a different Suzuha at that point, then you get the message that she had for him, where it's himself saying, look, things are not as they appear. If you play this right, everything is possible, that there's a way to get through everything. That can, because it's what the beta timeline and alpha timeline.
Yeah. I think if we talk about like the main draw in the show and like the main meat of the show, it definitely has to be the arc of when he's just going back over and over and over trying to save Mayuri. Yeah. Like let's face it. That is the part where everybody's like, holy shit. Like you're on the edge of your seat.
Yeah.
When he's like putting on the headset and there's like shooting going on and he's like, I'm going back. And like, though he knows he shouldn't go back, like that's the meat of the show. Yeah. That is like the part that's when everyone remembers the most fondly. It's like a very, very like time traveler's wife sort of story. Like no matter what he does, like she just dies like in one way or another, because like time is inevitable.
And I think one of the last, like last or second to last times where Mayuri actually dies. And I'm going to get this guy's names right.
Okabe.
I just want to say
Rintaro is
Rintaro. Okabe.
They use first and last names a lot in the show.
They go back.
Like, I never say like just Makise or Kurisu. Like in the show, they always say Makise Kurisu.
Yeah.
But when Okabe, I think it's like, it's either the last time or second to last time Mayuri dies. And you can just kind of see that, like, he's just kind of, dead inside in a way where he's still willing to do everything he can to save her. But he's just so, like, you can still tell he's kind of slightly defeated with this whole thing. That was, to me, was sad that one of those times where she had died. I wish I remember exactly which one it was, but he was just like, it might have been when the redheaded girl had Mayuri with her,
yeah,
and stuff, and got the call, and he was just like, "Ugh."
She's like, "Yeah, yeah," because he was he wasn't even there, and she's like, "I don't know what," because it made it look like he had saved her, and he called, and she's like, "I don't know what happened. She died."
And he's just like,
"And he's just like, the fuck." I remember that moment because we didn't see that death yet.
And he's just so
defeated.
So defeated. But he's still willing to do everything he can. So, but to me, that was the saddest. The saddest part in the entire show was when it was her 17th time dying, and he's just almost accepting of it in a weird way. But
it's
still
like
knowing he needs to
it's
do.
Like he, it's like a it's like a hopeless, it's like a hopeless persistence.
Yeah,
it's like he almost doesn't think that he's able to do it, but he's going to keep trying over and over again, even though he knows that like it's almost got like a nihilism to it. Like there's no reason for me to do this, but I have to because I don't have a choice.
Plus I have the power. That's the thing.
Like,
he has the power. Yeah, he's like, I can keep drunk going with back. Power.
He's like, he's almost desensitized himself to her death too, which makes, I think where's where the sighing is coming from. And then I think too, that if he knows, if he gives up, if he accepts her death, then he's going to realize that all this going back and all this trying to save her was for nothing. And I mean, who as a person could accept that?
God, and it's just, man, like, talk about, like, it is sad. I will say, like, it's got a lot of sad.
Andrea, are you crying?
I'm not crying. I'm cold.
Oh,
do I'm I look crying. Like I'm crying?
No, just the sound. And then you were like, and you were like wiping, rubbing your nose, and wiping your eyes. I'm like,
no, like the first time Mayuri, when they busted through the door and shot Mayuri dead, like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was like,
I jumped up like, oh, now here we go. I jumped up quick, fast. That woke me up.
This is an anime.
And then Susa started fighting with the chick on. I was like, finally.
I know. I said, finally. Thank God someone died and it was her.
And then she died.
I was like,
again,
I was like, you're going to make
again.
It. I really like the ending. I like the ending of the final plan of, because again, one thing about my favorite time travel that has that is where they figure it out that there's a way you can have it all. It's not, everything is not what you seem. Like where he said, no, she has to have, it has to be the appearance of her death. I have to see her death because they told her, if you just save her outright, none of this, you lose the power to have any of this happen. And that's like, that was the thing. So it's like his past self said, in order for this, for you to be able to save her, she has to die because then you lose the power to save her, which was weird.
Yeah.
Like even that conversation before we actually see what he did, it was because I'm like, wait, what? He's like, no, for you to reach this point, you need to go through that tragedy.
Yeah.
And then you figure out, well, yeah, but just because you didn't see how that ended, not everything's what it seems. So I like that whole aspect.
Yeah. Because at one point you thought it was going to be, okay, well, either Makise Kurusu dies or Mayuri dies. Yeah. Like he has to choose one or the other. And you're like, fuck, don't make us pick. Come on,
pick easily.
And oh yeah, you didn't know where it was gonna go because it's like he couldn't pick.
He kept undoing
things, but even when he talked to her, he's like, I don't know what I'm gonna do when it comes to that moment. It wasn't until Suzuha came and said, "There's a better way. There's a way where we can actually go and save her in that moment. My time machines work, but it's not even the one we saw though. This is a different Suzuha, which at the one thing I didn't get, even though I didn't really watch Steins Gate, was that the Steins Gate. No, that wasn't even the Steins Gate version of her. Because that's the one thing that's not explained. Which future did she come from?
When he went back, I think, because at that point, he like saw her die. So we kind of get back to the beginning. So I think she's from a different universe.
Yeah.
She's not from, because the one that she comes to, where we originally meet her, is the Alpha universe.
Well, that's the thing, is that in the show, they never really confirm which one is Steins Gate, like the original.
Yeah. The point of her saving her, that's him reaching Steins Gate. Steins Gate Zero, he never did. But I wasn't sure if that's the Steins Gate Zero version of her. Because in Steins Gate Zero, they showed that, like in that anime, they showed that version of him, that version from that anime. They show him film that video. Yeah. You see all the characters from that anime sitting back and they're purposely making it where you don't see his full face. Mm-hmm. And then it looks like he gives it to her, but they never confirm if that's the her that goes back into that Alpha timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was always weird, but I assume so. Because even that part, even in the actual anime, that was weird. Like all of a sudden you remembered you had a message for him. How did you know? And I had to rewatch it. She never says that this is when you needed to see this man. Like, she never specified that she knew he was going to fail the first time.
Yeah.
I don't know if she did. Because she all of a sudden,
I would have to rewatch it. Because I for the most part, when it comes to like her character in particular, I just knew what her story was.
That's why she was my favorite. I was always interested in her character, of the aspect of she's from the future where things played out a little differently. And even the other future she came from, things played out differently again, because that character from Steins Gate, without the him going back to second, I know I'm getting real technical, but
with this show, you can get technical because of how
technical
deep, it is.
So in Steins Gate, the reason why I'm keep bringing up Steins, because it lends so much to this. She continues on in that anime.
Yeah.
Because they never go back the second time. So they just let, so she continues on. But it was always weird. Now, is it just a continued circle? But it looked like that was a young, because they show a young kid when he's doing that message in Steins Gate. But it showed her as well. So it showed her adult her and the young kid version of her. Because in that, you also meet the Itaru, when he actually meets her mother, because they never introduce her in the actual anime. They introduce her in the sequel thing. That's why. But it's not funny enough, Steins Gate Zero added a lot to this because of what the road not traveled became. We saw the happy ending. This was the sad ending.
I want to see more so, because you know, when you talk about time travel, you have to talk about parallel universes and butterfly effects and everything. And there is no, and I know you said Steins Gate Zero gives you like
it is the other parallel universe.
But he created so many parallel universes by going and back, even sending the D-mails. I want to see, I would be interested in actually seeing something about in the universe they're in now with a happy ending and all of that. I want to see the backlash, because they even mentioned when you talk about time travel, like some places like, oh, you know, you're fucking with the universe like real hardcore. But I want to see more so of a him going back, even those little innocent D-mails he was sending is still altering, and it's still a butterfly effect. I'd be interested in seeing more so of the backlash with him just going back for small little things and major things, because it's impossible.
I think that was like the whole bittersweet undertone of the whole show, was that the fact that she went back, she came back from like that Terminator sort of future, which is another cool thing. They borrow a lot of elements from other time travel IPs, but she like comes back from like that Terminator future. I think that's kind of like a bittersweet undertone, because there's no real indication by the end of the show that that's not how the world is going to turn out. Like that, the future was saved.
It did, because they undid them ever finding out. Remember, that future came about because the concept of time travel was introduced. But they caused that, meaning when they did the first D-mail, the concept of time travel became a thing.
But they were also insinuations that CERN already had time travel capabilities.
No, they didn't. They were theorizing it. By them sending that first one, that's when it became, this is a reality. This is the concept of time travel didn't become real until he sent the first D-mail. That's what put him on there, because that's a different thing. But because remember, Makise's theory was starting to become that. I think we forget the whole thing of they were trying to stop also was that guy reaching Russia.
Yeah.
Because when he goes to Russia, he takes Makise's research, brings it over there. Mm-hmm. That's what causes the bad future that she came from.
Yeah.
He kills her. He goes to Russ, starts it. That creates the bad future. They were trying to stop it but once he did the detect, he kind of stopped that future from happening.
I was thinking of Zero because I was thinking about how, like, you know, she made like a pit stop and she wasn't able to go back to where she was supposed to go to save the future. So that's what I was thinking of.
Was the one she did the pit stop in. Remember, she said, I wanted to see my father. I just wanted to see the father I was supposed to have. But that's the thing with time travel. It's always twisted. But the future, without him ever sending the D-mail, if Makise was supposed to just die regularly without any of the changes they made down the line, the father killed her, went to Russia. Russia used his technology to create their own time travel. She said, in our future, time travel became a commodity.
Yeah.
That the wars started over that concept. And everybody was, it was like fighting over a new nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
But time travel was the nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
But then, but yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I was thinking of it because wasn't the whole deal that like he had to go back far enough to where they never sent the D-mail so that CERN never got, okay. So that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Okay.
When
so,
they started sending D-mail, and remember, they also hacked into CERN's system.
Yeah.
And then CERN realized, oh, they have this shit. We have to kill them because now that's a competitor.
Yeah.
So, and that's what started. Yeah, that's why they became the focus of everything.
I guess what I'm getting at when I say I want to see more of the effects of all the different parallel universes he's created is more so how, you know, throughout the show he's getting glimpses of like the future and like what he's going through and all of that. Oh
yeah, that bleeding effects thing, because basically remember,
I want to continue to see his happy little life he has now and stuff. I want to see a continuation of now all the different universe, all the different parallel universes he has created bleeding into his happy little life from like all those.
That's what people thought the sequel when they said, I think when they announced a sequel series, they thought that's what it was going to be. And they was like, no, we're going back.
Yeah.
No, because there's no way like that. All those universes created trying to save Miyuri and stuff, like they all still ultimately are going to lead to chaos. So I want to see that bleeding into his so-called happy, perfect life that he fixed.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing I liked about the new series was that like the Okabe that you get is like the serious like Okabe that's been through some shit.
Just gave up.
Yeah. So like he's a lot more mature. He doesn't act like the way he does because he's been through so much shit. So yeah, that was the one thing I did like about it, but I don't know. It just doesn't have the same charm as the first season did. A lot like the Tokyo Ghoul, like I just watched.
A lot like Steins;Gate. Like well,
one final thing I'll say about it is that when it comes to like, when they say it's the best, there's the show I think is the best when it comes uses this is still not, this isn't it. Because of 12 Monkeys. I remember I brought it up before. That is the best. The show is the best use of time travel I have seen. And I watch a lot of time travel shows. That's my number one favorite genre.
I've seen the movie and it's a good movie. So.
This is apples and oranges. That the show goes way deeper in its concepts of time travel. It's similar with this in terms of like parallel worlds. But it's more focused. This one is very this show was very complex. A lot of it for a reason, but at the same time, for no reason. They just want it felt like they were flexing. Well, look how much stuff we can do in one 24 episode arc.
And, I never got that vibe.
I thought it was because it was just like, okay, again, I liked it, but it was very just flexing their muscles of everything they can put together, and it had me, but
it was very showboaty of time travel.
Very much so, but at least like with 12 Monkeys there was a lot more emotion attached, I promise you that. And this is just a non-anime thing because it's not anime, but that show is up to this day, I watched the show at least 5 times already because that is truly a time travel show in terms of a cycle, but the difference is you don't have to suffer to get the payoff.
I never suffered. So
the consensus is what we all suffered to get through this. At least with that, things are presented to you right away and you're along for the ride right from the first episode. They like I said, sacrifice the first half to give you the payoff later.
I can see where y'all come from because it is slow in the start. And I think that everybody is kind of reluctant. To like, even if you don't want to admit it, like you are kind of like, I was reluctant to watch all y'all shows too. So like I had to go in and like, you do, no matter how good the show is, you kind of like when you have to do it as like quote unquote a homework assignment or because somebody recommended it to you, if it's not like your decision to sit down and watch it, there is a sense of reluctance in it because even with like Scissor Seven, like I already watched Andrea's and Alex's shows. I'm watching Scissor Seven right now and it is fun. It's like quirky, kind of reminds me of like old Cartoon Network stuff. I'm sure that's the vibe that they're going for, and I'm sure that it does like heat up later.
I would have to disagree only because you recommended it, but I was trying before this and I've watched a lot of shit. This was so hard. Even only reason why I did do it is because it was a recommendation. But like, especially when we talk about underrated and why it is underrated and why a lot of people won't watch it, is because it's very difficult. Again, cool. I watch all the same. It's the greatest time. I watch Mad like anime list, and it's always on there. And I'm like, all right, I've tried many times. And that opening, that first episode is so tough because it's, like you said, it's just bland. It's been when you're, well, and especially when the consensus is great, those are people that have made it past and made it to the end and seen the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I trying to recommend this for someone starting off, it's very tough.
Oh yeah, no.
You watch it, and
even for
remember,
seasoned people,
remember
it's
you
it's
said
very
you
tough.
Watched your probably like a, there's of course the core group that know real hardcore. You did it on you, of your own volition. I tried to do it on my own volition. It wasn't for me, and that's why I think the, and I've watched a lot, so I could think even more casual fans, unless it hits them in a niche. Because what did you say? You liked the voice actor,
yeah.
So there was
yeah.
something to keep you there. If well, someone even, goes in blind
even,
with nothing to keep
before,
them, it's going to be hard.
Well, even before, because I didn't realize it was J. Michael Tatum until like the fourth or fifth episode, I just liked his character. I thought he was funny. That's like my sort of like kind of dry, like there nerdy humor, I guess. Like the fact that he like calls everybody by like a name that's not right. And like, you know, it's like he's not even like a smart dude. Like he's not even like the smart one. Like Hack is the smart one. Like, yeah, no, it kind of carried me through. I just thought it was like whimsical, and like, you know, I knew that it was going to get into something deeper later, and I knew how. I have heard both sides. Like yeah. one of my favorite YouTubers like said that he hated it and thought it was dog shit. So I'm like, okay.
I wouldn't even. And
so
I think
I
that's
have
what
heard
it is.
Both sides.
I think like most people that when they get it, hopefully they find something that holds them, because it's not going to be the story, not right away. And
yeah.
I think for a lot of these shows, as we get through it. It'll be, all right, is it the story or is it something specific that'll maybe hold the audience? With you, it was, again, the character that you was interested in, see where you're going. And I think a common theme we'll see is that sometimes the story starting off is hard to grab you. And that's why I think a lot of these shows are underrated and yeah. hard to get into, because it's not, yeah. oh man, I'm in it, to win it right away. It's, all right, yeah. it's worth it. We're going to get it, but just give it time. And I think that would be a common theme as we go out through these different shows.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. All right. So in conclusion, it's good. I guess it's just a matter of if it's worth it to you or not, and just finding, like Alex said perfectly, finding something in the show to make you hold on to get to that point of actually being able to enjoy it. And you have to rewatch it. This is a show you can't just watch it once. I'm pissed because now I have to go and rewatch this show.
You don't have to do it right away though.
No,
like
it's gonna
give
be
yourself
like
some time.
Years. It's gonna be 3-4 maybe 10 years.
You're gonna watch and you're gonna be like, oh yeah, I've
you gotta
somewhat
watch it like
that.
You gotta like show it to somebody. That's
yeah.
No, I'm not showing this to anyone. I'm not. This is not unfortunately, it's good, but this is not a show I would recommend even to the most.
Well, I wouldn't say recommend. I say like you have to watch it with them. You have to, that way you could be there to reassure them. Like, I promise.
Nah.
This is it goes later, please.
No. I'm sorry, Cole, but this it's good. That's the crazy thing. That's the insane thing is that it's
not
it's,
a bad show at
it
all.
It is good,
like,
yeah.
But it's just something. I'm like, yeah, watch it if you want to. I mean, if you don't watch it, I don't think you're missing out on anything if you don't watch it. But if you do watch it and you manage to stick through it, that's great.
I think that if it's not your cup of tea, it's not your cup of tea. But if it is, you will love it.
Yeah, so, all right. On that note, this concludes our first little episode of our mini series of underrated animes. This was a great one to start off with, because I'm pretty sure whenever we do Scissor 7, Andre is gonna be in my shoes on the show.
Yeah.
So she's struggling, y'all. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. It is great to finally be back after a long 2 weeks. I forgot to mention at the beginning, our tournament arc for Aaron versus Light versus Lelouch, due to unforeseen side quests, we are going to hold off on that challenge until Hall Mat in December 16th through the 17th. Shut the Fuck Anime. Will be at Hall Mat, and that's where we're gonna be having the voting for this. So it gives you
that's Holiday Matsuri for all the non-weebs.
Oh yeah, Holiday. I just call it Hall Mat. Holiday Matsuri in Orlando. So we will be there again.
What are the dates for those again? Do you remember? December
16th through the 18th. Okay. We will be there all 3 days. At least two people
will be there.
But each day. Cole will be there eventually one day. So
If it's maybe on two. I'm gonna try to be there for as many days as I can.
Yeah, so this gives you guys more than enough time to rewatch the animes, spoil Attack on Titan for yourself, because you have to kind of know the ending a little bit in order to have a real standing vote in this. You're not voting off of just pure biasness, which is going to happen anyway. But
Aaron's hot. It's okay.
Aaron's so fucking hot. God. Light's a hot psychopath, and then Lelouch is just a dork. A dorky Q-tip.
What? Well, hey, put respect on the Lelouch v. Britannia, all right?
It's a dorky Q-tip, yeah.
Yeah, he's a Q-tip. Annoying. So, okay.
What? Woman, what is wrong
he's
with you?
He's not annoying. He's just...
annoying.
He won. He's the only one that won.
But he was annoying about it.
Alex, play the doo-doo.
I know. Hold up. We're gonna end. The whole talking is like, give me a minute.
Keep going.
Yes, keep going.
Did you guys? Oh, by the way, since you guys watched the show, did you guys like the opening theme for Steins Gate at least?
Did it switch halfway through or no?
The words change.
Okay, I couldn't catch on that,
because when the universe changes, the words of it like change like halfway through the show.
Okay. The intro was it was good. It was pretty good. I wouldn't put it up there in
tops.
But Cole, you're so biased towards
We end, I'll just play it out.
Yeah. So okay, I'll have everyone sign out in alphabetical order.
Ooh. That means I go first.
That means obviously. Alex goes first.
Oh. Wow. Yes, that is right. Sorry.
AL.
Yes. So I will thank Cole for finally letting me get this out of my system, because it was one of those shows that was just always poking at me. I was like, so this helped me get it out. I finally see what everyone's talking about. Do I agree? To an extent, yes, because the story is very complex. And I kept doing a lot of research after it. So that's a good thing. What does that mean? Why did, and then I wasn't watching Steins Gate Zero. That wasn't happening. But I did watch like a whole summary of how everything connected. And then, because I like when things connect, especially when it comes to time travel shows. So I was like, oh, that's why this was here. No, they don't even know what that means. So I did like that. And the theme is, of course, you have to go back. And ironically, that applies to the show. So I give them that. That's very smart of them. So yeah, I give it to them. Yeah, I liked it. Is it, I see why it's underrated, and it should be. It should not be one of the most popular anime out there. Definitely not. Because then I would hate it. The fact that it is underrated is why I like it. Because
I can compare it to One Piece slightly.
Exactly. Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I can compare it to One Piece.
100%.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare put me there.
100%. This is where One Piece should be in terms of popularity.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
All right, Andrea here signing off. I also want to say, kind of to jump off what Alex was saying, but just I'm glad I was put in a situation where I got to watch it, because I don't think I ever would have watched it without this. I did like it. It's the beginning parts were a little bit rough, but it comes together and it makes this anime good and underrated. But yeah, it does deserve to be underrated. So. I'll say that. Watch it if you can. If you can't, no one's
would want it to be underrated.
Yeah, no one's gonna.
You would hate that everyone thinks that. Yeah,
everybody. I will speak for all of the Steins Gate lovers out there, because I know y'all are out there. I will say that I think everybody should at least give it a try, because if you don't like it, that's fine. But if you do like it, it is good. You're not gonna regret the entire experience. You might regret some parts.
11 episodes.
But
11 and a half.
But yeah, so
full 12, say, full hard.
I do love the show. I was never bored or felt like I was being dragged through at any point. It might've just, it could have been a combination of things. I didn't relate to that.
I'm caught sure you at the right people, time.
Yeah. Maybe it did. Maybe it did. It's just hit the right vein at the right time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, if you're like into like real, real big, like shonen, like action-y animes, it's probably not mm-hmm. you. But I mean, I was real big into those, and this is kind of out of left field for me. It's not really like a style that I would typically watch. So, the fact that I really, really enjoyed it, and not to mention, I got to experience it it was the same thing like with like Mass Effect. Like I didn't play Mass Effect when it came out. I played it like 15 years later. And the fact that nothing is that good anymore made me appreciate it all that more.
Well, first of all, don't bring up Mass Effect, because you know my deal with you. Don't you dare.
Well, no, I'm not comparing. I'm just saying, like, I got to experience something that was great that came out like a decade ago when some would argue that the quality of video games and TV shows and stuff has fallen off. But I'm one of those people that thinks that.
Back in my day, back when shows were good.
Nah, this explains so much.
No, but and not to mention, like, it did hit in that golden era when like the dubs were actually good back then, and like preferable to the subs. Whereas like I can't think of a single anime that is out right now that I would prefer the dubs. But yeah, so if you haven't watched it, give it a try. If you don't like it, you're not gonna hurt my feelings, but I will say that most of the people that like it will either like it or they're like me and they absolutely love it and they're obsessed and they have no one to be obsessed with them about it. So, but yeah.
Sorry, that was funny, because you constantly keep mentioning how you have no one to rant and rave with this anime, and you still don't.
It's fine. I have the people in the comment section of Steins Gate opening videos on YouTube to relate to me and understand where I am. So, if you're out there and you're listening, thank you. You are awesome. And I will die on this hill.
All right. Okay. And this is Frankie Pixel Potato. Y'all already heard how I feel about this. Like I said, it's oddly enough, it's as much as I shit on it, it's good. It's just, it's a journey. It's definitely not for everyone. If you really want to see the payoff, it's an anime that you truly have to force yourself to sit there and pay attention, and then it really pays off. And then you have to rewatch it too. I think maybe that's the part I'm missing, is I now eventually in the far, 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 far distant future, I'll rewatch it. Now, probably I might change my tune a little bit now that I'll be able to actually have a better understanding of what the significance of the first 12 episodes, though. But yeah, like Cole said, either watch it, give it a try. If it's not for you, you're really not missing out on anything. It is a underrated anime, and
that hurt me.
I know, I'm sorry.
I think you're missing out on a really, really great anime.
Honestly. Yeah, it is underrated. I will give it that, because if you look at the ratings and reviews for this anime, that was another thing that kind of held me, is that this has almost like perfect ratings on every like platform I was looking at. And I was like, there's no way.
Because when it's good, confused, that's the thing, is when it's good, it's fucking great.
Yeah, it's just it's a journey. It is truly a journey to get there.
It's so hard to be nice. I'm usually the negative one.
I know, that's why I couldn't wait to do this episode. I was like, oh, I can't wait.
I can't wait to shit on your show. I actually kind of like
you love my show already. So
I wouldn't say love.
You like it. You almost, you were, you literally said, why am I crying in the club right now?
Well, because his song. His song. I think it's
just
it's
wait.
So
it gets
far.
Better. You're only on season one, dude.
Yeah, you did.
You've barely scratched the surface of my show.
It only gets into. Because I'm going into it with an open mind, not expecting much out of the first 10
seconds. But there's things happening in that first season other than yours.
Mine's
that first set, we start off with shit popping off.
Yeah, but it's like big, like filler stuff. I don't know.
It's not filler.
But it feels like it is.
Yeah, it's none of it. That's what Andrea is struggling with. It feels like it's filler, but you need to pay attention, because all those characters that are getting introduced in those what you call filler episodes are a part of the storyline and a part of like the main.
But again, it also has to do with delivery. And I think a lot of these shows.
Yeah.
It's the delivery. It's a lot. It changes things. And I think with yours, the delivery was just so different. Slow. And so we know the story's there and it is being built, but I think that's the one critique I will, the main critique. You know, there's no music behind anything we were watching.
That was another thing that I forgot to mention me. Is that there's no like it's, little.
And so it was.
Just, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, there's no music. There's no music track.
There's no score.
There's no score, nothing.
Ooh, the fact that I didn't notice that is kind of interesting.
Yes. Because I'm like, yo, these guys are just talking and it's, again, sub would just, no, you got to.
No, you can't.
Score matters because you have to. It dictates our mood, to be honest. So when you're just talking, it's like I'm being taught. Don't teach me. I didn't come here to learn.
Maybe if they had added
a score, I think,
to it, yeah, it might have held my interest a little more because I would have known how to feel about certain things.
No score behind. It's just no sound, nothing. So I was like,
that's interesting. So that's like a little avant-garde. They kind of went out like. Because you know that they probably had somebody go like, are we going to put music to this?
No.
Yes.
They had somebody that had to go, no, we're not.
This is a science show, damn it.
They're going to sit in there.
I'm a man of science, damn it.
Yes. Again, even Dr. Stone has music behind it to amp things up. And again, they talk way more science.
And honestly,
it gets to a point of where some of the science-y things like can get a little hard to follow when they're explaining it. If they had put a serious score behind it, I would have known. Ooh, what they're talking about is serious or something else. Like, oh, wow,
there's a reason why they're scoring in movies and stuff. It dictates our mood as the audience. But when you get none of that,
I can't force my own emotions.
Yeah. Yes, sadly, I know it makes it sound simple, but I think that would help it too. Because then, you can guide us a little. Scores matter for a reason. This is an example of that.
I could see that, yeah, because when I was watching, because I already watched Alex and Andrea's, but when I was watching Andrea's pick, the music was what was keeping me into it a lot.
Exactly.
Because the music, I'm going to say, like, so far, the music of that show is the best out of all these shows.
Oh, yeah.
So
far.
The music in mine is actually really good.
I just haven't really, like, been, it, like, when I'm watching yours, I feel like I'm watching a cartoon. So
you're going to feel like that, which makes it 10 times better.
Yeah, because then.
You're going to appreciate that feeling.
I even text him when it got to, I'm like, what the fuck? What happened? Where's the happy stuff? Because they just go in. I'm like, okay, all right, and then
we'll see.
Because my pick was also the same with yours, kind of. With when it came to Alex Cole, was that he had attempted to watch it, and he was like, no, and I was like, trust me, but it pops off quicker, a lot quicker,
because they start giving you the glimpse of what the series, and that's what the other thing with her is, they give you glimpse of this, like even in the first episode where you saw it with the hair down, you got a glimpse of what's to come. So that was also
Steins Gate did it too, but it just didn't explain it at all.
They just threw it at you. I'm like, what happened? Yeah,
like a perfect example of like show don't tell, but like in like the wrong way.
Yeah, but yeah, we'll see. Yeah. But it's good.
Yeah. So, all right, everyone. Thanks again for tuning in. It's been great talking to all you guys. So, go watch Steins;Gate or go attempt to watch Steins;Gate. Let us know let us know how you feel about it, and also go ahead and start watching some of the other shows we recommend, so that way you will be in the loop for our episodes to come. Next show we are going to be doing, just to give you a head start, is going to be Madoka Magica. That's going to be the next one that we do. I'm excited for that one. I already started watching the first episode and it already has me hooked. Ha.
You son of a bitch.
If you like Sailor Moon, show's going to fuck with you.
Yeah. I'm it's already kind of like, does this show really get this way? Because it's just so like, ooh.
I'll save my.
Definitely not. Later.
Yeah. So, all right, everyone. Thanks again for tuning in, and we will see you guys next time. I will listen here, you guys next time. Bye.